This morning's sermon is based on that first reading we had from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'll reflect on a number of those verses that we heard. To start, I read from a different passage about Samuel, a verse from Psalm 99, verse 6. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, this is a little addition to the outline there. You may have heard me say to the children, I'm sure you did, well, sometimes, once in a while, God may speak with a voice to us like he did to Samuel. Our trustworthy word comes from God's word. But if a Christian, a faithful Christian, tells me, you know, Pastor, once I heard Jesus speaking to me, or once I saw Jesus and he was comforting me, both those have been told to me, or once when I was a pastor out in South Dakota, I had a pilot. In fact, he was a crop dusting pilot. And he said, Pastor, I was in a really bad rainstorm. And there was an angel on the wing, and I knew I was safe. And he says, nobody believes me. I said, I believe you. We don't know when God ministers and saves us. And once in a while, it may be like that. But he's always pointing us back to Christ. If somebody tells you that and the person never goes to church, well, then I have a problem. Because certainly God would want us to hear the message of Jesus, the gospel, be with fellow Christians. Well, this is how Samuel was. He was serving God. It's really not surprising that God would speak to him in this way. For his mother had brought him, when he had weaned, we often say about 3 years old, had brought him to be at the temple full time and to be helping out. And so by this time he had grown up and he was, it thought about maybe 12. And it's a hard time in Israel. A lot of things were going wrong. The people had settled in their places. Joshua had led them in. And the different tribal groups of the people had different areas of the land assigned to them. And there were judges helping them solve problems with their enemies. Gideon and Samson. And Samuel also is called the last judge. So there was somehow peace that were settled in. But there was problems. And their worship, their spiritual life was not right. It says right there at the beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. The people weren't listening. It's not as if the books of Moses were not there. It's not as if the whole rules and set up for the tabernacle and all the sacrifices and so were not there. They were there. But they weren't listening. Part of that not listening problem was while Eli, now the high priest, was getting older and was going blind. And so he couldn't do much. It sounds like he wasn't doing much at all. And what we learn in chapter 2, the chapter right before, is that his sons, who should have been taking over in a faithful way, were not. They were corrupt. They were making people give them sacrifices far greater than what they should have been getting. They were forcing the people to give them more than what they should have gotten. They had led immoral lives, and they blasphemed God. And so the people the sons who were supposed to take over for the high priest. We're not even doing it, but they were making a mockery of the whole thing. So what would you do if you go and make sacrifice and the guy in charge is telling you, no, you haven't given enough, give me more. Come on, more, 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 more. Somebody tells you that today, just turn around and go to somewhere else. And so the people, their worship life was fading down. There's some indication in the text even that the temple was not, the tabernacle, was not being cared for. I know how our elders, they're careful that these lights stay lit. That's a task. And if one or two go out, oh, how many services do we have? Why is that going out? Maybe that wick is pulled up a little bit far. I see smiling. I know you guys. Well, the candelabra, the seven candles in the tabernacle were supposed to stay lit night and day. They were not supposed to go out. You'd fill them out, you know, fill them up, but you'd have to have them stay lit. And that was the high priest and his sons and those serving the tabernacle. That was one of their jobs, to make it stay lit. And there's indications there that Samuel had to pick up the job at 12 years old. Eli was going blind, and the sons of Eli were corrupt, and nobody was taking care of the building, of the tent, the tabernacle. Samuel was doing it. He was serving. So that God would talk to Samuel is not really surprising, is it? Samuel was there in the tabernacle night and day from age 3 to 12. And not only taking care of the building, but taking care of his, let's call him, his boss, Eli. Eli's getting old. He can't do much anymore. When he calls at night, you go and help him. That's what Samuel did. And that's what his heart was at. You think about that. How this young man was helping out, keeping the candles lit, and whatever else had to be done at the tabernacle. Listening for Eli's voice when he might come, when he might call. And he calls him, he hears the voice three times. Gets up three times. My sons, if I called them three times and said it wasn't me, they'd be getting a little bit cranky. Three times, lights out, power off, get cranky too. So, but Eli then perceived, okay, no, something's happening here. He's not dreaming. It's something going on. Lord, say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Samuel had to have faith to do that and obedience to Eli and had to have respect for Eli to do that. What do you mean? I hear a voice, but who's the Lord? The text is clear. He didn't know God speaking to him like a prophet did. So there's a faith, a belief, an obedience in Samuel already for a long time, actually. And he listens and hears that voice. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. So, the times are hard, and the message is hard. The message is against Eli and against his two sons, against his whole household, in fact. Which, again, if you read chapter 2, the chapter before, you get all the background to that. And so it was a hard task for this about 12-year-old boy to tell his boss that God says your house is going to be punished and there's no sacrifice that can stop it because you have not obeyed God and your sons have sinned. There's still faith in Eli, too. He says, well, the Lord has said it. Let it be done. But right away, Samuel gets a hard task. He's been serving in the house of God, but now he has to speak a word of the Lord, a hard word of the Lord, to Eli. Now, God knew all this was going to happen. God was well aware of all the evil that was being done. Think of this. Remember, it's Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who was grieving because she had no child. And when she did have a child, she said, "I will give this child to God for him to serve once the child is weaned." If you say she brought him to the temple about 3 years, at 3 years old, and say he is about 12 years, 9 years. God moved Hannah to have a baby. She became pregnant and moved Hannah to bring him to the temple, to grow up in the temple, to serve for 9 years, ready for God to call Samuel to take over because Eli and his sons were not right. God was planning on preparing all that out. In that hardship of Hannah and her grieving of not having a baby yet and then giving her son over to the temple, God was working through all that so that God's people would be served when the time for judgment against Eli and the sons came. God is well aware of any evil in our lives. He knows it. And he's preparing us and preparing things to go through those hard times. As he prepares us for good times, go through hard times too. We can come to faith as a young child or as a baby baptized, a young child later on, or as an adult, and God prepares us for later things in life. He prepares us for things that we may have to take care of a family member, or we may have to go through an illness or a tragedy. He's preparing us. He knows it's going to happen, and he knows how to prepare us. His call to us in our baptism, or as we heard through the word, the first time we heard is through the word. His call to us takes root in us, leads us step by step along the way. He'll show us when we need to do this or that. But he knows all this has happened, what's going to happen. He knows all that will happen. So he's leading us along the way. Listening to God is really important to perceive, not only in the words of the scriptures just read and hit our ear, but the words of scripture as they hit us and make us think about our place in life and what we've gone through and what we will go through. That's really, really important. That is God speaking to us. If you hear a sermon or read a Bible reading or sing a hymn based on Scripture, and that hits you, and you say, you know, that makes me think about this and this and this and this and this and this, and I see now what God was doing, and God was doing this, do not doubt, but know that is the Holy Spirit in you showing you God's word in your life. Absolutely. And so he speaks to us in his word, and the Holy Spirit makes it alive to us, and we understand how it applies and what's going on. And we shouldn't have any doubts. That is God working in us. If you tell me you hear a voice, I'll say yes. And are you in church every Sunday? Because we need to be together. We need to hear his word together. Focus on Christ. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to Samuel, for using him to help the people in very hard times, for setting their spiritual lives straight, for being a voice for you. We ask you also to help us listen to you in our lives through your word, through spiritual songs and hymns based on your word, that we may know you are always with us, you are watching over us. Even the hard times, you have known that that was going to happen. You have prepared us, you have prepared the way for us, as you prepared for Samuel. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.